or about the Civic Media Network.
ABC News, I'm Lindsay Watts. President Biden and Vice President Harris visited a taqueria near the White House to celebrate Cinco de Mayo. But before lunch, the president touted the strong April jobs numbers.
I got some good news from the jobs report. We added 250,000 jobs last month.
That number better than expected, and stocks have been trading higher, the Dow rising more than 400 points. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky is resigning her post. She served since the first day of the Biden administration, playing a key role in the response to COVID-19. Today, the World Health Organization announced that COVID is no longer a public health emergency. The virus has killed at least 6.9 million people. Ford is recalling more than 230,000 Ranger pickup trucks from the 2004 to 2006 model years. Those vehicles had received replacement front passenger airbags under a previous recall. The inflators may have been installed incorrectly. This is ABC News. Britain is preparing for the coronation of King Charles tomorrow. First Lady Jill Biden is already in the UK attending the ceremony on behalf of the US. ABC's James Longman is on the Mall outside Buckingham Palace.
It really does feel like a kind of a festival party atmosphere. Look, it's true to say a lot of people are excited about this coronation, but I think it's also true to say that, you know, the monarchy is not as popular as it once was. Charles is certainly not as popular as his mother, and so he's got a lot of work ahead of him.
A New Jersey woman says she boarded the wrong Frontier Airlines flight, winding up in Jamaica with no passport. Beverly Ellis Hebar telling WPVI-TV her gate was switched while she was in the restroom at the Philadelphia airport last November. A gate agent hurrying her onto the plane, not realizing it wasn't her flight to Jacksonville, Florida. She says once on the flight, she was told, "You're entering a different country without a passport." The airline apologizing and giving her a refund and a voucher. Lindsay Watts, ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matinere. Here's what you need to know. A motion requiring both the Wisconsin Assembly and Senate approve hiring investigators was voted down by the Republican majority and the Joint Finance Committee this week. Democrats introduced the measure in response to Michael Gabelman's unsuccessful attempt to find voter fraud in the 2020 election. The two-year investigation, which found no evidence of fraud, cost taxpayers over $2 million. Gabelman was hired by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, then later fired by Voss after Gabelman campaigned for the speaker's primary challenger. Wisconsin's DNR and the Department of Health Services advising only one meal per week of rainbow smelt from the Bay of Green Bay and associated tributaries up to the first dam. That includes portions of the Peshtigo, Oconto, and Menominee Rivers. This comes after elevated levels of PFAS were found in rainbow smelt that were sampled from Green Bay. I'm Jane Matinere. This is Civic Media News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's the grave digger, Gilbert Brown.
Where can you go where it's always a standard room only? You ain't gonna find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't gonna find that in Minnesota, standing room only, because you can go to the gumball machine, stick a quarter in there, I'll come take it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
That's the way it is, man. We love football, fans. Fans love us.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown.
Where can you go where it's always a standard room only? You ain't gonna find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't gonna find that in Minnesota, standing room only, because you can go to the gumball machine, stick a quarter in there, I'll come pick it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
That's the way it is, man. We love football fans. Fans love us.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with a chance for scattered rain showers. Daytime highs approaching 58. Winds out of the east, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast tonight. Chance for scattered rain showers. Lows level off around 49. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow. Highs around 61. Cloudy. 68 Sunday with a chance for scattered storms. 64 Monday. Chance for storms continues. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 51.
Height. Currently, it's 71 degrees.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media here in Madison, Mad Radio 92.7, The Shaw and Waukesha, and so many more terrific Civic Media radio stations around the state of Wisconsin. If you want to keep up with what we're doing here as a growing radio network, check out the website, civicmedia.us. You can learn more. And we're talking the rot that is going on right now at the U.S. Supreme Court, the ethical violations that seemingly are going to go unchecked. The U.S. Supreme Court has said, we'll handle this in-house. We'll take care of this in our own ways. And yet, just story after story after story coming out about questionable ethics on the nation's highest court. Questionable at best. I think it's just outwardly terrible ethics. It's bad ethical practice to accept these monetary gifts and not disclose them. And in this case of Harlan Crowe now picking up the tuition costs for the grandnephew of Clarence Thomas, he did disclose other gifts. Again, it's the same nature. He disclosed a little bit and then realized, ooh, maybe I don't want to disclose this one. So knowing that, that shows that, yes, he would disclose some things, but not all of them, because he knew the optics were bad.
Consciousness of guilt, if yes. You will.
Yes, Evan. And so it is absolutely, there was a $5,000 gift made by another one of Clarence Thomas's quote-unquote friends, and Clarence Thomas disclosed that one. It's for tuition costs. That $5,000 got disclosed. The upwards of, we don't know the true numbers of how much Harlan Crowe has flipped the bill for the tuition, but the ProPublica reporting indicates it may be in the vicinity of $150,000. It's a hell of a friend if you can find one like that. Hell of a friend if you can find one like that.
Real nice friend.
Want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. We got Mark from Priority Stack calling in. Mark, what's on your mind this Thursday afternoon?
Well, more than 30 years ago when I was working, one of my jobs working for the DNR was processing the bulk fuel purchases. And for a couple of years, one of the vendors was sending me a basket of cheer because I was their contact with them. That was probably standard practice for them, you know, for their bigger customers. They could send, you know, to send that kind of thing out. But I knew even back then I shouldn't be accepting that. And as you know, I did personally accepting that, and that how these guys even justify accepting any of this stuff in the first place is they're in a position of trust, and they shouldn't be accepting any gifts at all. You see, I just can't take that right now because it's against the ethics code for state employees to accept gifts like that from customers, you know, et cetera. So why these guys think they should be able to accept that kind of thing is simply beyond me. We got Brett Kavanaugh, who we still don't know how the
yes, we don't know who forgave his debts. We never got a conclusion to the FBI investigation into it. They rushed through the Trump administration and the Republican-led U.S. Senate rushed through all of Donald Trump's appointees to the U.S. Supreme Court so quickly that we do not. They all also lied under oath. They all said that Roe was settled law. They said that they wouldn't touch it. And the first time it came before the highest court, Mark, they overturned Roe. So they all lied in their job applications because that's what the U.S. Senate hearings were.
We should have known that they're going to do that in the first place. But this whole thing of accepting any of these monetary gifts at all or any kind of gifts whatsoever, it should be just something automatic to say, I can't take this because I'm a judge in this particular field, I can't accept any gifts, period. And why they don't seem to understand, let alone disclose it, they shouldn't be accepting them in the first place, period.
Well, and there's not any prevention from them accepting them, but the disclosure is the huge part. And reading from the ProPublica piece, the tuition payments add to the picture of how the Republican megadonor has helped fund the lives of Thomas and his family. Quote, you can't be having secret financial arrangements, said Mark W. Bennett, a retired federal judge appointed by President Clinton. Bennett said he was friendly with Thomas and declined to comment for the record about the specifics of Thomas's actions. But he said that when he was on the bench, he was not on the U.S. Supreme Court, just the federal bench, he wouldn't let his lawyer friends buy him lunch. So that was the standard that some federal judges hold themselves to. They wouldn't even let their lawyer friends buy them lunch. But Clarence Thomas has been perfectly fine accepting and disclosing in some cases, but not in all, a range of things from luxury yacht trips to now tuition payments for his grandnephew that he was raising, quote, like a son. Appreciate the phone call, Mark. 844-967-2789. You can share your tangents. You can be like Mark or you can be like Jack up in Merrimack. Jack, what's on your mind today?
Where's the tipping point? Well, in my opinion, there is no tipping point for these guys. They are lifetime appointees. There are no consequences for doing it. And they'll just continue doing what they're doing, and they don't care what the public opinion is. You know, we've seen exactly the same thing in our legislature here. There are no consequences for the egregious gerrymandering because the legislators automatically get bumped back into office and they make the situation worse, and there is still no consequences. You know, you look at the January 6th and the leaders of that, even McConnell said, and this is an approximate quote. He said, there is no doubt whatsoever that Trump is morally and physically responsible for the January 6th attempted insurrection. And yet there were no consequences. There have been no consequences for Trump on that particular field. Other people have gotten him into court. But the corruption, there's no consequence for. And so they don't really care. So they're not going to do anything about it. They're just going to stay there, do what they do, take the money, and run.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think that that's the reason why there's very little consequences is because the dark money that is in the system allows these individuals to be funded as well and keep up doing what they're doing. Appreciate the phone call. You can be like Jack or Mark, 844-967-2789. Going to be joined by Annalise Eicher coming up in the next segment. You're listening to Dueling Tangents. We're going to be right back.
ABC News, I'm Rena Roy.
Stocks continued to trade higher today following a week of struggles in the financial market. The gains coming after the better-than-expected April jobs report, showing 253,000 jobs added last month. The new numbers arriving despite fears of a possible recession. Karen Kimbrough, LinkedIn's chief economist, saying,
All in all, we're seeing an economy that is still very strong, a labor market that is very resilient, which is great for the American consumer. If you've got a job, that means you can work and you can earn. And so that does mean that there is a path towards a soft landing.
But one source of trouble could be the showdown over the debt ceiling. President Biden, ahead of his meeting with House Speaker Kevin McCarthy next week, accused Republicans of manufacturing a crisis. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky says she'll step down at the end of June. That announcement comes the same day the World Health Organization declared an end to the public health emergency from COVID-19. This is ABC News.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Efforts to overhaul Wisconsin's shared revenue system appear to be headed for a veto. Governor Evers issued a video statement yesterday to say the bill doesn't send enough money to local communities and that it comes with too many strings attached.
That's why I can't support the Republican plan as is, and frankly, I'll veto it in its entirety.
Evers objects to conditions the bill puts on places like Milwaukee to get all the state money they can. Former Governor Scott Walker tells the Journal Sentinel Donald Trump should be at the first Republican presidential debate in Milwaukee in August. New York Times reports Trump is likely to skip at least one of the first two debates. In sports, the Bucks are in the market for a new head coach. They fired Mike Budenholzer yesterday. The Brewers are at San Francisco tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown.
Where can you go where it's always a standard room only? You ain't gonna find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't gonna find that in Minnesota, standing room only, because you can go to the gumball machine, stick a quarter in there, I'll come pick it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
That's the way it is, man. We love football, fans love us.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
A doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, and that sweet, sweet, sultry music can only mean one thing. Yes, it is Yacht Rock season. We're getting very close to Yacht Rock, folks. But we are now joined here on Dueling Tangents by Annalise Eicher. Annalise, how are we doing today?
You know, I'm really feeling the Yacht Rock today, Luke. The weather's finally turning.
to true Yacht Rock weather. Although I will state, it is a state of mind. It is not dictated by our seasons.
Absolutely. But
thanks for having me. Thanks for having me on today.
Yeah, I appreciate you being able to join me. I had a feeling that there was going to be some news and want to have you on for with the shared revenue proposal coming out this week to get a chance to talk about that. We've got the lawsuit beginning to go underway here in Wisconsin about the 1849 abortion ban. And so wanted to have you on to discuss that as well. But it seems like they all perfectly culminated together to be all on one day. So we get to talk about it all at once. So really, really appreciate you joining me on this Thursday afternoon. And popped up, got ready for a show, and boom, I saw the headline. Tony Evers, Governor Tony Evers, coming to play hardball when it comes to that shared revenue proposal that Republicans released in little stages, kind of. It was a press release at the Capitol, then a press conference in Milwaukee, and now we're finally getting the actual, what is the meat of the proposal 48 hours before it got its first public hearing this morning. Your thoughts on what we got this past week with the shared revenue plan out of the Republicans in the legislature?
Well, I'll start by saying that I fully support the governor's plan to veto the shared revenue plan. I think that the key word for me in shared revenue is the word shared, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sharing I think also conjures cooperation and agreement as well. And, I think the Republicans had conversations with select people and chose to craft a narrative that, their shared revenue plan was something that was, agreed upon and cooperative and that worked for everybody. But, looking at what they put forward, it was some revenue, sure, but they were going to dictate every cent of how we spend that and really not give communities the ability to, drive that shared revenue where we need it the most. It wasn't going to allow for, some of the creative approaches that, we should and can be able to do in local government. So like I said, grateful for Governor Evers. You mentioned, he's coming to play hardball, and he should. I mean, this is his budget. He's put he put some incredible work into it. Incredible programs. And to see the Republicans start the process after hearing from folks across the state about the things that they support, but then, to see the Republicans come in and immediately do the opposite. Strip over 500 items from the governor's proposed budget, change the narrative on what, we're doing with shared revenue, and really go against what so many people voted for last fall. Way to go, Governor Evers. Thank you. Big fan right now.
Hang on here, because the offices of Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and State Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu, they say that they took into consideration a multitude of voices. This is the quote from their press release. After several weeks of meetings and negotiations with all parties involved, Democrats, Republicans, towns, villages, cities, and counties, we reached a shared revenue proposal we believe the public will support. Now, that's a very interesting choice of words, because they didn't actually include the party that is pretty large in the budget-making process, the governor's office, in that. They say Democrats generically. They don't. I would like to know which Democrats that were consulted by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and State Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu. Because,
let's not forget, we have 72 counties.
Mm-hmm.
We have over 1,700 municipalities. Did they just pick and choose a few? Like, who all was part of these conversations? Because
it's a very interesting question to ask. Because,
good question.
Yeah, it's a great question. but it just is shocking that they're like, oh, well, for weeks we've been doing that. And pretty much right after re-election, Governor Tony Evers went out on a listening tour, was going into the communities, hearing from Wisconsinites of what they wanted included in the budget, and gave a very, what I believe, excellent starting point for the negotiations. And then, as you pointed out, 545 provisions just in one vote. They didn't actually have any debate around it. There wasn't any conversation about which ones to include or which ones not to include. 545 provisions just stripped out like that, taking the budget down to its studs. And it's just very disingenuous to act like that's the true starting point when the proposal that Evers put up and put together after months of hard work, not weeks, months of hard work, is acted like not the starting point. So it is pretty telling that the Evers administration is looking to play hardball. I was curious. I didn't know how he's going to react yesterday because he was in public. He was asked by a couple of reporters and he was like, well, I haven't got the, to be fair, the report got released like 24 hours before that. And I don't necessarily do my homework as immediately as it was signed. So I can feel for the governor. But he was asked by reporters, well, what are your thoughts on the shared revenue? He's like, I haven't got a chance to dive into it yet. I'm going to take a look. And it's very disingenuous that the Republicans are like, well, be awfully terrible if the city of Milwaukee just went bankrupt because we couldn't come to an agreement on this, when they're the ones not actually coming to the negotiation table and having an honest dialogue about what to include in this upcoming biennial budget.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's interesting that they've chosen to go that direction since, you know, they, you know, budget after budget after budget, you know, continuously attack the city of Milwaukee and the county of Milwaukee. And, you know, despite Milwaukee being one of our economic engines of the state and being an area of, you know, of growth, and creativity, and it's just, it's par for the course. I mean, this is the exact same thing that we have seen and come to expect from the Republicans in the Wisconsin state legislature since, you know, they came to power under terrible maps, you know, a decade ago. And it's, I think, you know, this is just another example of how gerrymandered our state is, and that our governor, you know, can win as decidedly as he did and put together this budget that reflects what people voted for and reflects what people have asked for, and reflects what our communities need. And then to have the Republicans just come in and say, no, none of these things, no discussion, no debate, no nothing. We're not even going to talk about it. Yeah. This is what we've been seeing for years. And I think just underscores the need for, the need for an even playing field so that Wisconsinites can actually see some benefits, from government that discusses and debates.
Yeah. And that delivers, that compromises and then delivers ultimately, because that is what is important. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Thursday afternoon by Annalise Eicher. And we're talking shared revenue because it seems like Governor Tony Evers is going to take a stance. The quote that I saw from the Journal Sentinel, Annalise, that indicates how Evers, I think, truly cares about this issue. Because it's not something that all of a sudden he started just talking about. It was something that was neglected by Republican lawmakers for the better part of the last decade or more.
Yes.
Three decades almost, if you want to take a look at it. But there was also, it wasn't addressed by former Democratic administrations. But Governor Tony Evers is trying to tackle it. It's something that he wants to solve and address and provide for local governments. And his suggestion in the quote from the piece is, send me a clean bill that talks about the money that we're going to give to the municipalities. And so I think it's going to be an interesting standpoint now of where we go from here, because it seems like this was going to be included in the budget, but now the governor is requesting that maybe we'll get a standalone clean bill for shared revenue. What are your thoughts? You think this is still going to get tied up into the budget negotiations, or where you think this shared revenue compromise, if there's going to be one, is going to come? Is it going to be a clean or in the budget?
That's a question I don't know the answer to. And I don't know that I can guess at this point, you know, given that the Republicans have taken the stance on the budget that they have, and with the governor indicating his disapproval of what they've pulled together on shared revenue so far, You know, I think shared revenue is due for a lengthy discussion and due for some changes, because our communities across the state need it and deserve it. And it has been neglected. So I'm curious as to see which way it'll go. And I do hope that the Republicans are willing to come to the table and have a real discussion about what the shared part of shared revenue really truly means in practice.
Yes, we discussed it on yesterday's show. It felt like it was a lot of strings attached to the shared revenue. It came with a lot of expectations and stipulations is what we were discussing yesterday.
Like, here, we'll give you this money, but this is how you have to spend it.
Yeah.
It's
a very interesting way approach. And I don't understand how, I guess, the Republican lawmakers were going to expect any other different reaction out of the governor's office. Because to me, it made sense from the proposal and the details over the last week that we saw that this was going to be kind of the area that Republicans were forcing the governor's hand to be, because, again, they claim to have worked with Democrats and Republicans and cities and municipalities, all the parties involved, but really, it doesn't feel like we saw any of that. The first public hearing on this proposal was today. They were not taking input on this at the Joint Finance Committee's only four hearings around the state of Wisconsin, not one in Madison, not one in Milwaukee. It felt like a rush process, and it felt like a process that was not involving all the parties. And so it's shocking to me that this was the stance after, what is it? Are we at 15 out of the last 18 statewide elections Republicans have lost here in Wisconsin, that they want to take this approach rather than moderating and saying, okay, let's come together. Let's do what, in many regards, U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin has displayed over the last 12 years of finding compromise even when you don't agree with everyone. She got more done in the U.S. Senate than Ron Johnson did during the Trump administration. I think Republicans would do really well taking a page out of Tammy Baldwin's book and saying, okay, if we want to win statewide again, maybe we should compromise. Because then you don't have individuals like, I don't know, we're hearing from private talks that Congressman Mike Gallagher is not even interested in seeking higher office in 2024 because there aren't any Republicans to go up against Senator Tammy Baldwin. So it's very shocking to me that we're seeing these statewide results, Annalise, but the Republicans aren't actually coming to the table in good faith. They just want to put out what they want to put out, and they're acting like Evers is the unreasonable one.
Yeah, and I think that's par for the course for Republicans and how they've been acting, you know, both in our federal government, but also our state government, for the last number of years. And it's disappointing, but also it's not unexpected to me.
Yeah. Folks, you were listening to Dueling Tangents. Another piece of work that, Annalise, you were doing earlier this year was the rallies leading up to our spring election, talking about abortion rights here in Wisconsin and what the Wisconsin Supreme Court race would mean for those. The kickoff of the lawsuit here challenging the 1849 law is now underway. So we're going to dive into that and more on the other side of this break. You're listening to Dueling Tangents. You can join us, share a tangent with us on this Thursday afternoon, 844-967-2789. I'm Luke Mathers, joined by Annalise Eicher on this Thursday. And we're just going to sail for a little bit, you know? It's going to be some nice yacht rock weather. We're having fun. There's going to be soccer games tonight. It's Intergalactic Star Wars Day. One more segment.
May the fourth be with you.
May the fourth be with you. We got one more segment in Dueling Tangents today. Give us a tangent. 844-967-2789.
Takes me away to where I'm going.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown.
Where can you go where it's always a standing room only? You ain't gonna find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't gonna find that in Minnesota, standing room only, because you can go to the gumball machine, stick a quarter in there, I'll come ticket.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
That's the way it is, man. We love football, fans love us.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life.
VA life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA life insurance.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with a chance for scattered rain showers. Daytime highs approaching 58. Winds out of the east, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast tonight. Chance for scattered rain showers. Lows level off around 49. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow. Highs around 61. Cloudy. 68 Sunday with a chance for scattered storms. 64 Monday. Chance for storms continues. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 51.
It's 71 degrees.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Thursday afternoon by Annalise Eicher. And I always forget how long the Florence and Machine intro takes for this one. There it is. This beat is too catchy. It's going to be stuck in my head the rest of the day now. But I did it to myself. I did it to myself. I requested it from Evan. So, but you are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. If you want to take us with you on the go, download the Civic Media app wherever apps are downloaded. Just type in Civic Media. It's free. It's easy to download. You can jump from station to station. And Annalise, one of the other things today. So outside of Governor Tony Evers showing that he is dedicated to getting a fair shared revenue proposal through the legislature and signed by his office, taking a stance, hardball stance on shared revenue. Threatening to veto it as is right now. But the other news of the day is we had the first hearings on the lawsuit that is challenging Wisconsin's 174-year-old abortion ban. And it's pretty interesting slash fascinating, I guess, because I'm a news junkie, Annalise. Like, I'm a sponge for information. I just want to pay attention to it all. And I'm having a hard time keeping track of how this is working and what's going on with it. And I fear that that's what ultimately the conservative movement over the last 40 years wanted when the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade last summer in its Dobbs decision. It's going to send it back to the states. And essentially, rather than have a federal standard, we now have this patchwork of legality that is questionable. It threw into chaos, legal chaos, all 50 of the states and all of the territories of the United States as well. And yeah. So can you help explain what's going on here in Wisconsin for our chaos of this lawsuit that is here in Dane County Court beginning today?
Yes, I am happy to help clarify. You know, and we don't do a good job, I think, as a you know, our legal system and our knowledge about our court systems, you know, the number of levels is kind of limited. And, you know, I think you're absolutely correct in by kicking this issue back to the states. You know, there are any number of, you know, legal and legislative issues that have happened over the years that impact rights and access to healthcare like abortion. So what happened today was a Dane County Circuit Court judge heard oral arguments over whether to dismiss the Attorney General's lawsuit challenging the 1849 criminal abortion ban. And so the the case that is at hand here, that they a certain DA was asking to be dismissed, is a lawsuit brought by our Attorney General, Josh Call, that says the 1849 abortion ban was effectively repealed when the state legislature passed new laws regulating abortion in the decades following the Roe versus Wade case. And so the AG says that those newer laws take precedence over the 1849 ban, and then that ban cannot be enforced.
Okay. And then in this process of the oral arguments today, we also then got some comments from this Dane County Circuit judge questioning whether or not that 1849 ban even applies to a individual seeking abortion care, because they essentially it was talking about a definition of voluntary abortion or feticide, essentially. And I'm curious to know, where does that even mean? If those are the judge's comments, I guess it's just even more further confusing to me of what this means for this court case and this lawsuit.
Yeah. So the question, I think, and again, not an attorney, I actively chose not to go to law school, but
same.
My understanding is that the hearing today was about whether or not this case can proceed. My indication was that, based on the judge's comments that, that judge is likely to rule in favor of the attorney general and allow this case to continue to move forward. But there's any number of legal arguments that are being made or made in court today that could impact the judge's decision. Thinking about next steps, what's going to happen, I think that sort of we all expect this to go to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which was the huge focus of this last spring, just a month ago even. Mm-hmm. So I think like the if and when as to when this case goes to the Supreme Court is going to depend on whether or not when the Dane County Court decides this case. If the losing party, whether that's the attorney general or the DA that wants this dismissed, appeals the ruling. And then I think the other question that, is out there is, does the Court of Appeals keep the case, or does the case move from Dane County court to the Supreme Court of Wisconsin? And so it's really interesting to see the possibility of whether this could happen tomorrow or next week or later this summer. We're pretty much in a waiting period now to see how and when that Dane County Circuit Court judge is going to rule, which determines where this goes next.
Yeah.
Which determines how we continue to fight for reproductive freedom in the state of Wisconsin. We're talking a lot about the courts, and that's, the subject of the day, but there are also legislative avenues that we can and should be pursuing. I know certain legislators have already introduced the Restore Roe Act, which is really exciting. But there's a lot that we can be doing to support access to reproductive freedom and reproductive health care in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and all this legal chaos and the delays and the timeline is all happening while there's Wisconsinites that are not receiving the health care that they may be seeking and forced to go to other states. And so it's absolutely very appreciative that you're able to describe that. I feel a little bit better about the understanding now. I appreciate that. Thank you so much for joining me on this Thursday afternoon, Annalise. I really appreciate it.
Of course.
May the 4th be with you. And good luck tonight with the Battle of Sunny P.
Thank you, Luke. And may the 4th also be with you.
Yes, it works out. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. Head over to the website, civicmedia.com. Dueling.us. You can click on Dueling Tangents. You can see today's edition of Dueling Tangents and all the previous editions, along with all of the other excellent programming put out by Civic Media. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We're going to be joined by State Representative Francesca Hong. Talk to y'all then.
Moms, they really are the best. So this year, give her something really special. Write a special message for your mom, and we'll broadcast it right here on this station throughout the entire weekend of Mother's Day. Call 608-819-8255. 608-819-8255.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown.
Where can you go where it's always a standing room only? You ain't gonna find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't gonna find that in Minnesota, standing room only. Because you can go to the gumball machine, stick a quarter in there, I'll come take it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
That's the way it is, man. We love football. Fans love us.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store. Then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app. AB-